Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Good morning again. So this is the third week, right, of Lent? Is it? Second Sunday of Lent. And for those who haven't been here, the theme we're working with is Be Ye Transformed. And again, this talk this morning has some review ideas in it, things we have looked at before. But from a new perspective, we're trying to understand a deeper meaning of what this whole spiritual process is really all about. And in the concept is, remember, Lent a lot of times is you're going to give up something for Lent. Only when Lent is over, you're going to take that habit back up again. Right? Yeah, so we're moving beyond that. Okay, that's sort of like the medical profession of, if you go to the football game and you eat hot dogs and you get heartburn, take Tums and heartburn will go away so you can eat more hot dogs. I mean, it's like, there's no transformation in that process. Okay? So we're looking to move to the next level of this idea. Last week we explored a very unfamiliar parable from the Gospel of Thomas, in which Jesus was describing what the kingdom of the Father is like. All right, and we're not going to go over that same, but the key to that parable was based on the idea of allowing your story to empty out of you so you can become filled with God's glory. Now, your story is the myth by which you live your life. And if you want more on that, you should listen to last week's story. And this is actually, there's actually a word or a concept that describes this idea of allowing your story to empty out of you. And some of you have heard this word before. So the word is called kenosis. It means emptying yourself of yourself so you can become filled with oneness, or emptying yourself of your personal will so that you become entirely open and receptive to being filled with God's divine will. So that's the whole idea of allowing your story to empty out of you. You know, now granted, throughout our lives, we've been replacing one story or myth with another, all right? And as we've grown and matured, the old story is gone and we've got a new story now. But the key was every story that we took on was always acceptable to our ego. But what we're studying here is investigating not ways to enhance or pacify the ego, but what we're investigating is how to discover the truth about who we really are. So, and believe me, I get it. This idea of letting go of our present beliefs and the way that we are now is extremely challenging. The reason why it's so challenging is because if I let go of who I am, who do I become? Who is this being that is greater than ego? But, a way for us to think about this is to realize that we all have a superpower. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to understand what that superpower is. And the superpower is the kingdom of heaven consciousness with all of the infinite potential that's embedded in that divine realization. So at some level, what we're trying to do is we're trying to see what that superpower is. Who am I really above and beyond this human expression? And yes, the very fact that we question the existence of this superpower and having to give up our story in order to gain it is an indication of what the ego does all the time. It's always jockeying for survival. Now, the word jockey means to maneuver to a certain position or advantage, and that's the nature of the ego. It's always trying to figure out how to justify itself, how to justify what it does, what it says, what it believes. Does that sound familiar? All right? And yes, let's face it, it is by way of our ego and its need to jockey for survival, we've been using that consciousness to interpret Jesus' teachings. And let's look at a common example. One of the most talked about salvation methods or techniques in Christianity is repentance. We must repent. Now, Matthew 3, verse 2, it says, repent for your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So Christianity has interpreted it to mean to feel remorse, contrition, self-reproach, or whatever, you know, for whatever we've done, we're going to feel sorry for it. That's basically what it's meant. I'm sorry, I won't do it again. But what happens? We end up doing it again, okay? Now, you know, and for the most part, that's how we have looked at the idea of repentance. You know, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. But the idea, you know, sort of the idea of confession. I know it's a little, I'm going to make a little joke, but so like, you know, you're told to say 3 Hail Marys, do 5 push-ups, and run around the block 3 times, and you're good, okay? And I know I'm making light of it, but the point is that the typical Christian practice of repentance doesn't even come anywhere close to what Jesus was talking about. To try to get a better understanding of what Jesus was referring to, let's go to the Greek word for repentance that many of you have heard before. It's called metanoia. The word metanoia literally means beyond the state of your present mind. It means to have a new-minded way of looking at life caused by a transformative change in your heart, mind, and soul. So true metanoia or true repentance is you're not even the same being that you were before. You see life completely differently, all right? So, you know, many Bible scholars say that what Jesus actually preached was metanoia because there was no similar word for it in the English language. And many of you may know that the Aramaic language that Jesus spoke in, you could not translate that directly into English because it was a pictorial language, all right? So the key was that he was speaking about something that was way beyond what we have interpreted it to mean. So words like repent, conversion, transformation speak to metanoia, but the full meaning of metanoia is so much more than these words could possibly ever express. So we're trying to understand what was Jesus really trying to get us to. As it's written in Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, in this scripture, Jesus was explaining that the kingdom of heaven is both, and you've heard me talk about this before, imminent, I-M-M-I-N-E-T, and eminent, I-M-M-A-N-E-T. The word imminent, spelled with the I, means about to occur. And this is what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 4:17, the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. However, the word eminent, spelled with an A, means existing within. So according to the revealing word, it means indwelling, abiding within, remaining or operating within. God is eminent in all of God's creations. Now, to emphasize this idea of God being eminent in all of God's creations and what that really means, let's look at Ephesians 4:6. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together in peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is over all, in all, living through all. That's why Jesus' mathematics is 1 + 1 = 1. All there is God. So every one of us is an expression of that individual, that idea. We're an individual expression of that one idea that God is. So in actuality, only the last line of that verse speaks to the imminent, that would spell with an A, nature of God as we defined it. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, in all, living through all. But the other verses in that scripture speak to the universal connection that is pulling us all together in the same direction, which is towards love. Because we are all the same God immanent within each other. To repeat again, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope in the future. That it means that every time we express something to another person, we're really expressing it where? To ourselves. Because all there is one. Now, in our ego mind, it says, no, there's me, there's you. Right? And we ain't the same. Am I right? And that very thought goes against the whole idea of our true nature. And but again, that's a big concept to try to grasp, that you and I are one. All right? How do I get to that consciousness of understanding that you and I are one? All right? And you know, that glorious hope for the future comes when we all have evolved to the kingdom of heaven consciousness, which is the superpower that we're trying to get to. So we all have a superpower. How many people watch our X-Men fans? Any X-Men fans? All right. Okay. Well, remember the show Heroes that was on, and everybody had a superpower, right? Okay. And they all had to discover, or if you're into the Flash and the Arrow and what's the others that I watch? All of those, the cartoon. What's the cartoon, the comic book they come out of? Starts with an M? Marvel, yeah. If you watch all the Marvel characters, they all end up with a superpower, okay? It's the same idea, okay? That we all have a superpower, and typically in those stories, they will discover all of a sudden that they have this superpower. They didn't know they had it before. That's exactly what we are trying to do, is discover that we have a superpower, and that superpower is the kingdom of heaven consciousness, okay? So the kingdom of heaven is imminent with the I, spelled out, about to occur, but it will not be our reality until we're willing to allow a serious, radical transformation to occur in our belief system and way of being, until we're willing to experience metanoia, which requires a metamorphosis that is very similar, as we talked about last week, from the caterpillar to the butterfly. Okay? So if you weren't here last week, we talked about how the caterpillar surrounds itself in a cocoon, and while it's in that cocoon, it goes through a metamorphosis, so what went into the cocoon is not the same as what came out of the cocoon. And the way we surround ourselves in a cocoon is during our times of silence, prayer, and meditation. We wrap ourselves in the light of God, and while we are in that light, we are going through a metamorphosis, and when we come out, we're not the same as when we went in. Now, those of you who practice prayer and meditation and moments of silence may come out and look in the mirror and say, that's still me, right? But the very fact that you took the time to enter into the silence causes you to go through a metamorphosis. You may not be able to see it right away, experience it, but over time, you will begin to see a difference in yourself, okay? And it's interesting, too, I'm going off for just for a second. Charles Fillmore, Myrtle Fillmore, the founders of Unity. Myrtle Fillmore was a natural mystic. When she heard, as a child of God, I do not inherit sickness, and she was dying of tuberculosis, just the hearing of that, she went through a metamorphosis, and they told her she had a year to live, and she lived 45 years more. Just by hearing it. Charles Fillmore, on the other hand, had a withered leg, one leg shorter than the other. He heard it also, but he was a scientific mystic, meaning he had to create an experiment. So he sat every day, same time, same place, same length of time, and just sat there. He said, by the scientific experiment, and he did it with no real feeling, no emotion, no anything other than the approach of a scientist. And over months, he did it for months, he wasn't seeing any difference, but all of a sudden he began to realize that his prayers were prophetic. And he was prophesizing things that were actually coming true. And in the process, it was a real obvious change for him, because that withered leg that was 3 inches shorter than the other grew out and filled as a grown man and filled out. So you have to ask yourself, am I a natural mystic or am I a scientific mystic? It doesn't matter which one you are. It's whatever technique you have to use in order to get to that superpower. Does that make sense? Okay. So, you know, the idea of the caterpillar to the butterfly is similar to what Jesus said, the Son of Man must be lifted up to the Son of God, All right? That's the metamorphosis. The Son of Man and all of the things we believe in that consciousness must be lifted up to the Son of God. So it's not about destroying the ego. It's about understanding the ego, understand that it is not the real boss. All right? That it is a servant of God. Okay? And it's interesting to note that the word radical, in addition to meaning drastic, extreme, and severe, also means basic, fundamental, rudimentary. So in order for us to experience the kingdom of heaven consciousness, which is the mind that can behold love, peace, and wholeness in all persons and all situations, no matter what, we must revert back to our basic fundamental nature, which is described in the revealing word as an idea in divine mind, the epitome of being, the apex of God's creation, created in the image and likeness of God. This is the origin and nature of our superpower. So in truth, we, and everybody knows this, that we were created in the image and likeness of God, which should make you say, then I must be like God. I must have the ability to tap into what quantum physics calls the unified field and pull out of that unified field anything I need for my life. And quantum physics says that is what's possible. And it's done through consciousness. So we're not just talking about religious, spiritual stuff. We're saying that physics is also proving this idea. That once I understand that I live in the unified field, and Paul says, in whom I what? Live and breathe and have my being. And quantum physics says you do live and breathe and have your being in the unified field, which is infinite potentiality from which you can use your consciousness to pull into manifestation anything that you need. That is your superpower. All right? So the obvious question is, why is it that if we are the apex of God's creation, made in the image and likeness of God, that we have such a hard time remembering who we really are? Well, again, if we go to the revealing word, this is what it says. Man appears unlike God because he through disobedience, fell into sin. Now, you know, the Bible has a harsh way of saying it a lot of times, but basically it's just saying that we really forgot who we are, okay? Fell into sin means we forgot who we are. So through accepting race thought, man has adopted wrong ideas about himself and his relationship to his source. Does that make sense? Okay. So he has believed that he is unlike God and thus separate from God. These beliefs had by the nature of the law of mind action become manifest. Now, the law of mind action says thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. And again, quantum physics is proving that. That the molecular structure that we live in is responding to our thought process. As I said once before, when we were having horrible weather one time, and a guy on a weather report, I don't know if he kept his job after this, but he said, weather is a manifestation of the consciousness of the environment. Yeah. Yeah, right. So we don't want it to snow tomorrow. We need to change our consciousness. Alright. So, you know, simply mean again, since we do not believe that we are like God, since we believe we are separate from God, we have by way of our own consciousness created a separate experience. We are bound to this world by our story, which keeps reminding us that we are bound to this world by our story. All right? And Jesus spoke of this in Matthew 18:18. He said, whatever you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, you loose in heaven. And again, we've heard that verse 1,000 times, but now through the field of science, they're saying, yes, you hold yourself in whatever experience you're in because you hold on to that story that this is how my life is like. And until you can let go of that story, you will continue to keep experiencing that thing over and over and over again. But we have fallen in love with our story, even if it's not a good one. You know what I'm saying? And it becomes very difficult to separate ourselves from that story. And even as we start to separate ourselves, we've done such a good job of convincing everybody else that this is our story. They're going, oh, no, you can't go that way. That's your story there. And they keep trying to bring us back to our own story, right? So we have to be a thing, we have to tap into our superpower to find out, how do I get out of this story? So how do we get back to our right mind? Which, you know, Course in Miracles says we're all insane right now. So how do we get back to our right mind? Back to our basic, fundamental, rudimentary nature. How do we loose ourselves from the entrapment of our story? We do it by allowing ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we said, almost every lesson, it is a process of continuously letting go of all the thoughts, words, and actions that do not come from faith, peace, love, and joy. So it's no longer can we just kind of unconsciously trip through life. Even my young students at the college, 18, 19 years old, I could almost get ready to stand and say, oh, yeah, I know, we got to, you know, we got to become conscious. You know, they got it now. I said, what do you have to become? We have to become conscious. And that's what most of us are tripping through life. We are unconscious. You ever have people say to you, you know what you said to me, so-and-so? You go, really, I said that? Because, you know, it just comes out of our mouth or our actions. We're not aware of what we're doing. So it's a process of always being conscious. And this is why taking on another story, no matter how positive or how good it may be in its own context, is not the same as metanoia, which is transformative, which is a transformative change in your heart, mind, and soul, which causes a shift in your from your ego to spirit. Okay. Now, paraphrase of the scripture, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which is Mark 1:15, that emphasizes the title of this lesson, which is Be Ye Transformed, is the time has been completed. The kingdom of God is close. Shift your vision and put your trust in these exciting new ideas. So what does the gospel mean? It means what? Good news. All right, because with the Old Testament was like, oh, you know, you messed up, so God's going to punish you. Or you did good, so God's going to reward you. Jesus was like, no, that's not God. He came and he gave us the good news. He said, God loves you no matter what you do. All right? Because remember, the eyes of God are too pure to behold iniquity. Okay? And so this, you know, this is the means by which transformation from fear to love must take place. It is the very essence of metanoia. You must shift your vision and put your trust in these exciting new ideas. And it's important that we come to know that God, Jesus, spirit, divine mind, higher power, whatever you want to call it, knows that it is not easy for us to make this shift. God knows it because even though the kingdom of heaven is imminent with an I, about to occur, it is also imminent, meaning existing within you as you. Jesus emphasized this in Luke 17:21 when he said, the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is within you as you seeking to express through you. So our thing is not to be an expression of our ego. The ego is to be a channel through which God expresses in their lives. And that expression is always going to be love. You ever think? If the expression is fear, then you know that's not God. Then you have to what? Shift your vision and allow that inner power, that superpower, to express through you as love. And that takes, tell me, you guys, is it just me, or does that take a whole lot? Right? It takes a whole lot. And you have to practice it all the time. You got to find ways of practicing it all the time. Okay? So the dictionary defines the word imminent with an A as also meaning God remaining within as the permanent, eternal, true nature of our being. So if the change we must make is to return to our basic fundamental nature, and God as perfect being is our permanent, unchangeable, fundamental nature, then it makes sense when Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, that you must therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is basically a call for us to return to our own true nature, which already exists within us as our divine potential, not as something to be gained. Oh, I'm trying to become spiritual. It's a truth to be remembered. You cannot become spiritual because you already are spiritual. It's just that we don't remember that we are spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. So the origin of the word perfect means brought to completion or brought to the end state. So the whole religious movement has to do with reaching the state of eternal life. However, the main difference between in the truth movement is that eternal life in the kingdom of heaven is not a life after death proposition, but rather it is our true reality right here, right now. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is not something where you're going to go, oh, there it is, or here it is. He said the kingdom of heaven is within you. It is in the midst of you. You are living and breathing in the kingdom of heaven, which again quantum physics call the unified field. And Paul said, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. This is all making practical sense, okay? So again, so the kingdom of heaven is defined as the state of consciousness that is in harmony with the thoughts of God. The state of consciousness is in harmony with the thoughts of God. Now, the key here to getting to that place is learning how to experience nothingness. Stuff happens. How do you feel about that? I have no feeling right now. Nothing. Nothing, right? All right? Not to get all tangled up in it or anything. Nothing. Until you can get to the point where your feeling is love. You with me? So we have to be practical about it. I mean, we can't jump to love, so you have to jump to nothing. Just a state of being. And when you're in a state of being with nothingness, remember, how does it go? Nature abhors a vacuum, but God will not allow it. All right? So when you are thinking nothing, then divine wisdom can enter into your mind. And you can come from divine wisdom. Okay? So when Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect, he's telling us that we must be brought back to the realization of our true state, that state which is God, which is absolute, which is perfect. So be ye perfect is saying, be who you are. Be who you were made to be. Be who you are in truth. And this happens through the process of metanoia, which literally means we have to develop a new-minded way of looking at our lives. I remember the old, God, I can't think of his name. He did all these tapes on motivation, and he said, if you don't like your job, change the way you think about it. Okay? Or if you don't like your life, change the way you think about it. Okay? And again, from last week's lesson is being able to see the goodness hidden in the evil, the peace and harmony hidden in the chaos and turmoil, the health and wholeness hidden in the sickness and suffering, the prosperity and abundance hidden in the lack and limitation. The trick, the secret, the technique for preparing ourselves for the kingdom of heaven awareness is that once we put our mind to the work of a spiritual shift in awareness, we must keep our mind focused on that work. And this is not easy because a shift in consciousness typically comes in very small doses. As one author says, it's microscopic shifts from one way of seeing the world to another. In other words, you're not going to have a huge change. You may. Something might cause a huge change, all right? But usually it's little small shifts in consciousness. And another trick or secret, so to speak, for preparing ourselves for the kingdom of heaven awareness is to learn how to look to God instead of looking back, regretting or, you know, reliving, re-experiencing something that happened in the past. We cannot come into the kingdom of heaven while looking back. And this is how Jesus said it in Luke 9:61-62. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. All right. So we're entering a new day, a new way of thinking, where the old hurts and pains and the old ways of thinking embedded in our old stories will no longer have any power over us. Remember the Star Trek episode I talked about, Deep Space Nine, where the captain kept bringing these highly enlightened beings back to this horrible time when his wife was being killed by the Borg. And he said to them, why do you keep bringing me back here? He says, we're not bringing you back here. This is where you live. You get what I'm saying? So if you're still living in old dynamics, right, you can't move forward in the kingdom of heaven consciousness. So let's not look back. Instead, let's put our hand to the plow and our mind to spirit and look in consciousness to the Christ that is here to comfort, protect, and guide us. We must be open to this inner comforter, this inner love and protector, this inner guidance and inner healing. When all else fails, and we feel lost and, you know, alone, but, you know, remember at that time, we've got to remember that the Christ is always with us. It is imminent within you as your strength, your courage, your guide, and your joy. And so it is. Amen.